I think it's a complicated question because my book goes up to about Stonewall, right? And the reason that I stop there is complicated. It's in part because that's when Brooklyn's waterfront economy really has tanked. The engine that drives all of this change and this possibility in Brooklyn is the waterfront. And by the 60s, the Navy Yard is closed. Coney Island has become a really dirty, not very attractive spot. Robert Moses has built these highways that have cut off, like, everything. And so the arc that I was following of queer communities sort of ends there. But of course, again, queer life in Brooklyn doesn't end there. I'm following one set of stories. And what emerges after that moment is a cacophony of stories. I think that we start to see many different queer communities that are not connected closely to one another arising. So you get sort of a black queer community happening in Crown Heights, you know, the Starlight Lounge and the Bonsoir and all the bars that are over there. You get the lesbian community that arise in Park Slope. You get all of these different queer communities that come up afterwards. And so I thought, well, you know, my book's going to end here, but I want to make it clear that the turbulence of the queer community I'm documenting ending makes possible all of these other queer communities. So they are connected to the history of the waterfront, in some cases very closely. And so in those ways, I think that there's a definite connection with specific communities. I also think that there are institutions like the Lesbian History Archives, which is today in Brooklyn, though it started in Manhattan. They not only are an institutional presence that brings this history up to today, but their archives and their memories and their collections, I drew on them very deeply for writing this book. And so they're also a memory that I think connects the queer history of Brooklyn's past with the queer present.